Hired If I Could Have Your Attention in the Media Center. We're now joined by Ross Chastain, driver of the number 42 DC Solar Chevrolet. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get you a wireless mic. Again, if you do have a question, we'll get you a wireless mic. Ross, oh, we have one over here. Start up front.
David Siegel, frontstretch.com. So kind of taking your mind away from last week, smashing the watermelon on the front stretch, which was very fun. I know you wanted to win tonight, but putting in perspective this opportunity, now that it's over, how would you describe it?
That on? Oh, there we go. Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. It doesn't seem real to be sitting here, initially disappointed in second, but as we walked over here, it kind of was like, all coming back to me, like, man, what I have given and would give 3 months ago to have this opportunity. And then 2 months ago, talks got real serious and it happened real quick. And then we announced right away, and then we're full bore into preparing at CGR. And not knowing me internally, not knowing if I could do what I needed to do. Like, it was said by one of the guys that was walking me through everything at the beginning as we went to CGR, was like, if you go run 10th in these three races, we're all just going to quit. We're going to go home, and we're never going to, because we don't know what we're doing in NASCAR. And it was true. Like, if we didn't perform, we probably didn't need to be doing it. So, man, to have these three races, have a shot to win all three, and grind like we did today. I mean, we unloaded. I didn't think we were very good. And then I was driving erratic and trying to compensate and driving wrong and really just tied it all together by second practice. And then qualifying was great. You know, we grinded through all three rounds and got better. And then I go to slow down. The clutch is stuck. And I had to start at the back. And it's just like, well, this pretty much sums up our day so far. And to start at the back and score points in stage one, pit crew is awesome, and then to come home second is really cool. So looking back, I have no regrets. I could not have done anything different. Tonight that was all that I had to try to catch Christopher. Really, we were about a third or fourth place car and able to roll the outside there, pin those guys down and run, and Daniel made a charge at us, and then I was trying to chase Christopher. So it was really, really cool to be in that moment. Like, restart third, I rolled to the box slow, and then lit my tires up off turn two. So that was probably the gap he got on me. And then by the time I got back by those other guys, it was too late. So, whoever got out front first was probably going to get it. But just all those little things and executing through all three of these races, besides one huge crash, was really, really cool.
Well, next to Jerry, then the back.
Jerry Jordan kicking the tires like that in PRN. I got a couple. Talk a little bit about you've been in a four car. You've outdriven the ability of the car. Driver talent getting into a car like the 42 versus driver talent getting into being in the four, and how that transition has been, showing that you really do deserve to be up at the front of the pack like you are.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody deserves it, man, honestly. I mean, I don't know how you justify that, but yeah, I've felt like for the last year and a half or so that I could get more out of the four car than anybody else that would get in it. And I've offered it to be like, get in the car, but I feel like I can get more out of that. Come to the 42 car, no, I'm not. I'm the weak link, like the crew and their car and everything that goes into that car. I'm the slowest part of it. Whether that means my hands are moving too fast, that's a negative. Just little things like that. So just trying to get up to speed, and do my job, so it does feel good to just go through these races and have the speed and make adjustments, and they all make sense. Most of the time it's still, we get left and right of ideal from time to time, even in the 42 car through these three races we have. So we definitely have closed the best, I felt like. Even going back to Darlington, we were our car was handling good enough to win that race. If it would, if we could have not crashed. So just going through all that, and then now going back to the four car will be different at the Roval. That's a whole animal in itself. I'm just clunk around. I don't even know where the track, which way it goes, and supposedly none of the Xfinity guys do. But I know how it is, and there's one guy that's been on track way back, and then there's guys in simulators and stuff. So that'll be its own animal. But back to Dover, man, we run good there. We have a really good program up there with Use Your Melon, and reminding everybody up there to drive sober in Delaware. So these races couldn't have laid out any better with the 42 to kick it off.
And to follow up, there's a huge talk, whether it be among even your competitors, saying that it would be cool to see you get some support in the four car from whether DC Solar or from Chip to actually give you a legit shot to run for this championship. I mean, you've dominated, whether you got knocked out at Richmond or not, I mean, at Darlington or not, you dominated with the exception of tonight, and you did dominate because you came from the back. So there's a huge cry to see you get some more help to actually maybe make it to Homestead. How does that make you feel?
It feels good. I mean, we definitely need help. Johnny Davis and Gary Keller give me a lot, and they give me more than they should, but we need help. Like, there's a bunch of open races on the four. It's open next week. It's and then moving forward at a couple others, it's open two or three more. So how are we expected to go compete when there's $0 coming in? And we've front-loaded our season with sponsorship to try to get here and overspent. I mean, we are over budget on the four. And, you know, Johnny and I had a conversation probably 4 or 5 months ago about he asked me if there comes a time that we need to scale back, what do I think about that? And I said, do we need to do it now? Like, I don't know the numbers. I'm not on that side. And he's like, no, we're racers. We have to chase this. We have to chase racing and running as good as we can. And we have a lot of hype around us. And he said, we're going to make the playoffs. And this was way like at the beginning of the summer. So how are we supposed to compete? I don't know. It'd be, I can't even, imagine getting any kind of support because that's so far beyond, but I never thought I would get this opportunity, you know? So I guess nothing's unattainable. It's just going to take a lot of things falling into place. And I said it when I got out of the car, like, I hope I did enough. You know, I hope it's not just running fast. I tried to integrate myself as much as I could at CGR. And unless they don't let me on the property, I'm going to keep doing that because there's a lot I can still learn from them, you know, whether I'm in their car or not. So I'm still going to integrate myself in with Josh Wise every week, Nick Harvey, and, you know, I won't be in their competition meetings week to week to pre and post race, but I'm still going to be a part of, until they ask me to leave, I'm going to be there because there's a lot I can still learn from everybody there.
We went next to the back.
Don Jeffries, CSBN Media. Ross, talk about your stage two, the second half of that stage. You seemed to come alive there. What'd you find in the car? Was it just taking care of your tires and just not, you know, using your brakes up in that first part and then charging hard in the second half?
Yeah, it was. We started the back and we were back and forth. I thought maybe ride really easy at the start, and they were kind of like, no, you need to get on up there at least mid-pack. And so I did. I pushed really hard and got behind Priest there in the 18 and got that's where I leveled out. But I kept trying to push past him, and I burnt my tires up. By the end, we still finished 10th, but it was ugly from my point of view. So the second stage rolling off and the rest of the race, I just putted around for the first 30, 40 laps. And with maybe 35 to go in that second stage, we tried to take off, and initially it was good, but I still burnt my tires off. So, that was a big learning curve for me, that run. And then the final stage, we went from third to eighth, and just to let everybody gap out. There was times where I could see the 88 car, and there was times where he was completely out of sight. We had just started trying to kind of push when that final caution came, or that caution that set up our final pit stop came out. So, you know, I felt like we were going to gain ground on them, but they were so far ahead, probably not going to catch them. So at first I was disappointed the caution came out because I thought, man, this is best way for us to run clean. We've saved our tires. But ultimately, it probably worked out better than the other way.
We'll go next, Dustin, and then up front.
Dustin, Judge Ross, Have you met with Chip yet?
I did, yep.
How'd that go?
It was a really good conversation. Intimidating. I mean, that's a guy. I mean, my goodness. You know, and once it kind of came out that people knew I hadn't met him in person, I had a lot of people give me advice on how to talk to him. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm just going to be myself and let him do the most of the talking. That's what it was. So did I just kind of let him talk? And I just want to be his driver, you know, if that can line up. If it makes sense for everybody, I want to win races for him. I want to be a part of a program like that and help build more on this Xfinity side. I just want to win races, right? So he always tweets, I like winners, but I want to win, and my best opportunity is with him. And it was just a really good, really good conversation. So it was people had talked him up, and I walked in and my hands were shaking and sat down, and he just shook my hand and he just talked like we were two old buddies, and pointed out the fact that if he had to answer why to one more person outside of the hauler why he hadn't met me yet, bad things were going to happen. So I guess all y'all have been poking him about that. So thank you. But no, it was cool. It was just as soon as he said one sentence, I was like, okay, this is not like I've worked it up in my head to be.
And we'll finish up front.
There was a lot of pre-race intrigue, obviously, with Dale Jr. picking this race to run in. He obviously ran very well. So did you. Was there a cool factor with racing with him up there?
There is, man. I mean, I live close to him. I help pay the bills over there at Junior Motorsports with my rent check every month. And, you know, I make a small contribution. And it's, you know, we'll pass each other on the road every now and then. I don't think he knows probably what I drive, but I wave to him and just like I waved to everybody else down that old bumpy road. And, yeah, it is cool. I mean, you know, I raced with him at Dover my first cup race. One run, we had our car really good, and his car was really bad. And I was able to clear him, and I waved to him. And then about 10 laps later, I burned my front tires off, and he went back by me, and he waved back to me. And I was like, wow, that's Dale Jr. waving. So, you know, I do get caught up in the moment sometimes because, man, I know I say it, but I'm not supposed to be here. This is not – I mean, they used a bunch of – quotes from last week, what I said about watermelons and farming and everything, but I do feel that way. Like it's a snowball that got started by chance with my dad doing some hobby racing. I did some hobby racing then, and it's just rolled all the way down the mountain, and I don't know if we're at the bottom of the mountain yet, but it's this huge snowball now, so it's really cool to get to do all this. But it was cool, and then he's up there leading the race, and I'm like, man, he's gonna show up one time after he's retired and spank our butts. And he was, and so then that, you know, that final restart, I was able to go by him, and I was like, we almost actually got together off turn four, and let him up, and I was like, I'm faster, it's okay. And at that point, it's just a yellow car, it's not Dale, it's not anybody, it's just pass him. I was pushing really hard there at the end to try to get back to Christopher, and I just let him gap out too much. So at the end of the race, it was just a car, honestly. It was I don't see faces. I've said it, and this is how I feel. I don't have friends on the racetrack. Somebody like him's a little different. When you're my first cup race, obviously I'm trying to give room, but tonight, man, there's no friends out there. But when we got out, we were all shaking hands because we didn't crash, right? You're not happy with each other if you crash. But yeah, it was definitely cool. And I guess I can always say I beat Dale Jr. in his last race unless he comes back again.
So you didn't wave when you passed him tonight?
My hands were gripped on the wheel so tight trying to chase down Christopher. I probably should have waved and got to let loose of the wheel a little bit because I was really loose that last run and just trying everything I could. The spotter said with two to go, he's like, dig deep. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I got nothing. This is everything. So it was it's cool to go through those moments for me and experience those and think back on this whole 2 months now, I'll think back on for the rest of my life, and no matter what comes of it, it's really been an awesome ride, and try to keep building.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Ross, and congratulations.